welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 463. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today is a slightly catatonic Emily Soden.
Hello, we're being mellow today. Mellow.
Yeah, I'll provide a bit of pep, but I understand you were awake most of last night because your boyfriend had the gall to breathe in and out all night.
I mean, I'm happy he is breathing wonderfully. I would just prefer it without the noise.
As if his life depended on it. Yes, snoring is a pain. I think I am a person who does it, but that's the thing about snoring, is you don't know you're doing it. It's everyone else who suffers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I do it as well. My it is one of those things that you're always so afraid of. Like, it's like, do I interrupt other people's sleeping patterns? But you never quite know unless you'd record yourself, and that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I guess. But luckily, my partner goes out like a light no matter what's happening, watching the TV in the middle of massive explosions, exciting climax of a film, and she's just out like a light. So snoring is probably the least of her concerns. She just powers through. So if you can, we can work that out, Em, you'll be in top form. You just need to get the old earplugs in and... Or the sellotape option. There's always the sellotape and slow suffocation option.
Yes, we'll save that for emergencies.
Well, what we're going to do today, because it's the end of the day now, we've all been super busy the entire afternoon, so we're kind of throwing this in at the last minute, and it's probably going to be largely unedited. So if there are a few more ums and ers and just, you know, we say terrible things that we usually cut out sometimes, they're all in now. We're just going to leave it. So there, deal with it. But we're going to be covering a ton of news. We've got Blizzard's announcement about Diablo Immortal, which was just met with so much love from the gaming community as a whole. We'll talk about the fallout from that. We've got the release date of Kingdom Rush Vengeance, a game I'm very much looking forward to. It's coming out very, very soon. We've got the downfall of Square Enix this year. Bad news from their financial department and possible knock-on effects for the games that they release. Plus, reviews of games including Red Siren, Spit Kiss. We'll have a little look at what Ingress Prime is all about, plus the likes of Seesaw and a few things more as well. But first, the news. The fourth entry in the Kingdom Rush franchise is very, very close. So this is going to be Kingdom Rush Vengeance. We've got our mobile release date confirmation. It is going to be hitting app stores on November 22nd, which, if you're counting, is about just less than 2 weeks away, which is very exciting because this is my favourite tower defence thing on mobile. One of the only ones I think that is still any good. Have you dabbled with the Kingdom Rushes at all?
Admittedly, no, because I'm not a massive fan of tower defense.
See, I wasn't really until this. I didn't get into Plants vs. Zombies. That didn't really do it for me. Mm. The Anomaly, that's it. Anomaly series is the tower offense game. That was kind of flashy, very nice sci-fi stylings, but it was kind of a flip on tower defense because it was going the other way. You were driving down and offending rather than defending. But this is the kind of catch-all where it's like light-hearted, cartoony styles, bags and bags of character. And also the mechanics are really fun and the leveling is good. And I just, it's something that I kind of pick up and want to carry on playing. And a couple of my friends are obsessed. As soon as I get the release date for this, I immediately just screen cap and send it to them. And they fire back a ton of emojis at me.
Nice. That's nice, though. That's a nice state to be in.
I know. Happy emojis, not the little aubergine one. Well, that's a happy emoji as well, depending on what you put it next to, I suppose. Yeah. So I think this is dual launching on both Google Play and the App Store, because they link to both accounts. And usually it's like a half a year or a year before it comes out on Android. So I think they're going with the dual launch this time, which is super good news. But you're going to get 16 new towers, 16 different stages, 9 heroes, 35 enemies, and loads of other stats as well. Check out our news article, what Em did. So yeah, look forward to that one. Now, we'll come to Diablo in a second. Square Enix, I don't know if they released financials or whether they had one of those open calls that they do with investors sometimes, where you can just like listen in and discussing what is largely very tedious stuff. But the upside of it all is that they have taken a $33 million loss during the last six-month period of this year, which obviously isn't great, no matter what your company is. And I know that some people might get turned off by us talking about things like financial downturns and stuff like that, but the reason we mention it is because it has a massive effect on the games themselves that get produced. So what people are putting this down to, I think, is largely Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, really?
This ties into what we've been talking about for, like, years now. Since Final Fantasy 15 came out, there was always the sense that, like, they've spent way too long making this game. It's not quite had the impact they wanted it to have. And that's why they went, oh, we're going to do a pocket version, which is the same game, and put it on mobile, because we really, really need this to make some money back. And I don't think it has. And it's meant that they are now seriously, seriously out of pocket. They credit themselves the financial loss to changes with Luminous Productions, which is a subsidiary to the company which comprised the former Final Fantasy XV developers. And things like, I think, Octopath Traveler. That came out on the Switch, and whilst being really critically hyped, I don't think quite made the splash commercially that they would have wanted it to. I've also heard on the grapevine that some of the mobile stuff isn't performing great either.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because if this means this is the time when their whole, like, charging £18 for a Final Fantasy game comes back to bite them in the arse, this will be interesting, because they always seem to have done pretty well out of that historically.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I always kind of thought that charging that much for a game that old is kind of bananas on mobile.
Hmm. But the argument for it has always been, well, I guess people buy it because they keep doing it, and if they didn't sell, they would change the prices, you know? But maybe we finally hit the point where free-to-play is at such a massive level of saturation and everyone just accepts that's the model. Maybe people aren't going to go for it. Maybe we're going to start seeing them just shift to much more free-to-play, or just maybe bump the premium prices down a little bit. But I'll give you a fiver for Final Fantasy, you know, 4. But this is 18 quid. You can get it much cheaper everywhere else. So yeah. Shadow of the Tomb Raider probably didn't help. I don't think that shifted that many units compared to the previous one, Rise, and the original reboot, because it was the B-Team studio and all of that. So, not great news for them. But Blizzard. Blizzard, the company that continues to make all of the money in the world, no matter what, because whatever they release seems to work really well. So, they've been talking about bringing more of their IPs to mobile. And this is after they announced Diablo Immortal, which is going to be a mobile interpretation of the Diablo formula. This didn't go down great. I doubt anyone is particularly surprised to hear that.
No, definitely not. I mean, realistically, it was never going to go down great in that audience.
It must be a real bummer when you're, like, working on a game and you kind of know before you put it out there that whenever you put up the first trailer, it's just going to get, like, review bombed. It's going to get all the downvotes in the world, because they're going to watch it going, it's a new Diablo game, and then it's going to pop up for iOS and Android.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone, all the fanboys are going to lose their minds and downvote the crap out of it. And if you've worked on something, like, it might be a really good mobile game, but it doesn't matter, because they'll look at the trailer and just immediately go, oh, this is garbage, and mobile destroying everything.
Yeah, well, of course. I think my heart broke a little bit just at the thought that someone was really excited about revealing this game and then they just got booed, so.
It's a bit harsh. So yeah, they announced that at BlizzCon, which was going on last weekend. A couple people I know have gone off to do that. I was hoping they were going to dress up as stuff, but they didn't. They've let the side down. I'm saying that right here and now. But of all the genres and all the games that might fit the mobile mold, I reckon Diablo's perfect, because Diablo kind of already is this really long-running, extremely grindy, tappy, pointy, clicky, repetitive game that goes on for ages and ages and ages, that you play for weeks and months, that builds and builds and builds. That is what mobile games are, a lot of them. So, of all the franchises to port on over, this is actually perfect.
Gotcha.
But I think it's just because they've stuck mobile on the end. I think that's the only reason people are going mental. But surely, like, this is... most free-to-play mobile games are already a bit like this. We've got loads of them, like Dungeon Hunter and Game Loft have done their version of it, and people quite like that stuff. But there are so many of these, like, ARPG, hack-and-slashy, grind-a-thon-style games. And that's basically what Diablo already is.
Yeah, no, I think one of the major reasons that it got so negatively received is purely because it was a mobile game and everyone was expecting the announcement of, like, Diablo 4.
Yeah, I get that. That is kind of a shame, because we've had 3 for a long time now, and there are always these huge gaps between installments with Diablo. I mean, Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 was, like, over a decade,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and remember that when Skyrim Blades, not Skyrim Blades, Elder Scrolls Blades was announced, people were expecting it to be another Elder Scrolls game, and then it turned out to be a mobile game, and people were really mad about it.
Yeah. It's about, I guess, upsetting expectations, isn't it?
Yeah.
If people are primed for the new release, and when they suddenly realise it's a mobile spin-off, they're going to rage. But I'm putting the positive spin on this, which is I genuinely think that, that Diablo's formula fits the handheld format very, very well. It's already, I mean, I don't really play the Diablo games a great deal. I played two a bunch with a friend because he was massively into it. And so he was like, play this, play this. And so I did. And I get it. I can see it's fun, but it is very repetitive, grindy, 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 grindy. And it goes on forever. And it does remind me in many ways of like, it was a mobile game before mobile games came out. And I know you're listening to this, Diablo fans are going, it's way more complicated than that. I know it is, but it's got a lot more in common with a mobile game than like GTA 4 does, you know? So I think it's a port that could actually work very well, depending on what they do with it. Depending if it's rammed with, you know, god-awful gatekeepery in-app purchases, then obviously, yeah, maybe it'll suck. But give it a chance. Just give it a chance. And Diablo 4 will still happen. It's Blizzard. They're going to come out with it eventually. Don't worry. But in the wake of this, there's been news of potentially more things coming to mobile from Blizzard's catalogue. So to quote them, in terms of Blizzard's approach to mobile gaming, many of us over the last few years have shifted from playing primarily desktop to playing many hours on mobile. And we have many of our best developers now working on new mobile titles across all of our IPs. So, I'm reading between the lines and saying, like, look at Blizzard's IPs. We've got Overwatch, we've got World of Warcraft, we've got Heroes of the Storm, which is probably quite well suited, that last one. And others like, what would work? Let's put it this way. What would work? Could you get Overwatch working sensibly on touchscreen, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
No? Not even with Fortnite and PUBG also being on touchscreen?
I don't know. If it was a specifically mobile-to-mobile kind of thing, sure. I guess there is some way that they can dumb down the controls and all that. They can, you know, make them MFI supported and things. That's fine. I think it's just possibly a few generations away from still having the right tech. Because, I mean, Overwatch, for my PC, it completely almost overheats it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Mm.
But that's because my PC's quite old, so...
But even though, I suppose it's a little bit prettier and more kind of hardware intensive than something like Fortnite, which is quite, you know, simple looking. Yeah. It looks nice, it's colourful, but it's simple.
Also, like, I mean, Fortnite and PUBG on mobile is, I mean... There's no denying that it looks a lot worse on mobile than it did on PC.
This is true.
Like, a lot worse.
Depends what you're playing on. Again, if you're playing on an iPhone XR or whatever it is, then perhaps it's... Or I should say iPhone X, not 10, because they don't like that.
I thought it was the opposite way.
Was it? Oh, I don't know. I lose track. Who cares? I hate sticking to the marketing spiel. Actually, it's pronounced 10, is it? It's because you've written X. If you wanted it to say 10, write 10.
Yeah, whatever's the proper one, I say the opposite of, because I will not conform, James.
I'm basically a cat in that way, just total contrarian. I mew to get out the door, then you open the door for me, and I sit there looking at you, going, what did you do that for? I didn't want to get out. I just happened to be by this door. You're a silly person, aren't you? So I think they could conceivably do Overwatch and have it be cross-platform, albeit with like stripped-back graphics and everything, because, I say, they've done that with PUBG. You can play PUBG and Fortnite with people on consoles completely cross-platform. So theoretically, they could. I wouldn't really want to. I feel like I might be a massive disadvantage doing that, but, you know, the option's there. World of Warcraft. We've got lots of MMOs on our tablets and our phones and whatnot, so there's already... several online RPGs. Gameloft did a whole bunch of them, which is effectively a World of Warcraft style game, and they can work. And I guess World of Warcraft is, you know, designed to be not too hardware intensive, or at least it can be scaled to whatever platform you're working on, so maybe they could try and bring people in WoW. That might work. Heroes of the Storm, that could work too. Or they could just be using these IPs and then developing entirely new video game tie-ins for these properties, like they're doing here with Diablo Immortal. Mm. So rather than trying to get you into the core experience, they're just going to come up with what I hopefully won't be like a match 3 puzzler. Something a bit more interesting.
It's either match three puzzlers or CCGs.
Yeah, CCGs or auto runners.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, Blizzard, if you're listening, let's have it not be those. Do something that's got something to do with the franchise, and we'll talk. But they say some of their best developers are now working on titles, so I've got my fingers crossed. Blizzard don't tend to do things half-assed.
Mm.
They have a reputation for producing a lot of games, working on them for a long time, and like disregarding lots of games that never get released because they're like, nah, it doesn't quite hit the standard. I mean, even Overwatch, when it came out, people were like, eh, it's all right. Do you remember that it got a slightly lukewarm reception?
I genuinely don't, because I was, I think, a year late to Overwatch.
Oh, okay.
Because my friends already got it, but I was just too stubborn to pay for it at the time because I didn't have any money.
That's fair. But people got, like, caught up in it later. It had a Destiny thing where, like, Destiny got, like, sixes and stuff when it first launched, and then everyone decided it was amazing. And then I think Overwatch got, like, eights. Yeah, it's pretty good. But it's highlighting the problem with trying to review these online-dependent games before they've been launched out into the wild, where, like, really, you should be doing the review, like, a month to 2 months later in order to assess, you know, the state of the game world as it is.
I mean, look at Fortnite when you think about it. When it was really, they were pushing the Save the World thing. That was the key part of that game, and then Battle Royale just completely blitzed through it.
Yeah, and it changed what the game is. And that's the problem now with all of these games that exist as services and that are constantly updated online. If you review the thing day one, you've no guarantee the game is going to resemble anything like that in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
It might be a completely different game. So it's a weird thing, constantly evolving landscape. But if anyone can pull it off, Blizzard can. It's similar to kind of the Nintendo thing, where you have to put faith in when they put out a Mario game. They've probably thought about it for quite a while. It's probably been through quite a lot of quality control and stuff. It'll probably be all right, you know? And similar with Blizzard, they don't tend to just launch out a little rubbish. So let's keep our minds open about Diablo Immortal and anything else they put out. Could be good. Hoping it will be. Keep your eyes peeled here for more. Out and about this week, Em's got something massive that she really wants to talk about that's taken up all of her time this week that she's been playing. But she can't, because of embargoes and that.
Yes, I am bound under the pain of death. Not really, but it's probably quite serious if I was to announce what I had been playing.
It's pretty bad, yeah. You would have lawyers and laser dots on your forehead.
Yep.
Right, ready for that rude boy sniper. So, I'm going to be delivering a lot of the stuff that I've played instead. But we've got a few. So, let's start with Red Siren Space Defense, which is a... I mean, I'm going to say almost a bit tower defense-y, but sort of not quite. So you take control of this nicely rendered 3D jet. It's a 2.5D side-scrolling thing. You are fired out of your base, which is in the middle of the screen. And then you look at the little bar at the top, and it's got your base in the middle of it, and then a space to the left and a space to the right. And you're looking for little enemies, which are marked, that gradually move towards you. So usually they pop up on the left when you start. So you fly off to the left of the screen and suddenly you encounter these big stompy mechs and tanks and robots which are all blasting you away. Your job is to just eliminate them all as quickly as possible. The game auto-fires for you. You've got one little D-pad floating stick and you just fly around, shoot. When all the enemies are eliminated, boom, you move on to the next level. Simple as that. Now, what happens in later levels is you take off and you realize there are enemies on the left and the right. And there's quite a distance between the left and the right. So you have to start prioritizing, right? I'm going to fly out to the left, take out some bad guys, and then fly right back all the way over the other side, over the middle of the base, and then all the way out to the right and take them out, in which time more people have appeared on the left. So you're kind of constantly flitting backwards and forwards to try and manage these enemies that are coming in to the center to mush you up. It looks great. So it's got that very kind of realistic... You know how later era Command & Conquer games looked?
Yeah.
Where it's kind of that real world, slightly busted up aesthetic where the ships are a bit dirty and that. But it's got lots of little moving parts and it looks quite mechy and, ooh, nice. Like, I really appreciate the look of it. It's good. The game itself is quite simple. It's deliberately trying to be a bit casual, I guess. And it does start to ramp up the difficulty quite quickly, which I liked. On the other hand, it's quite repetitive. You don't really have much in the way of tactics beyond do I go left and right, because you're just dodging the the enemy fire by kind of just gradually moving up or gradually moving down to sort of escape the bullets as they're hitting you. And that's kind of it. You get additional cannons which you upgrade, and then you can launch rockets and stuff, which is nice. But this is one of those ones where it takes a long, long, long time to build up the currency that you require to do anything. So you can upgrade your existing ship and boost the lasers and all that. But if you want to buy another ship, say I played like, say, if I play 8 games, I might generate, I don't know, 15,000 credits, perhaps. One ship, the next ship up from mine is like 95,000 credits. So it's a lot of grinding if you want to ever get anywhere. I'm not sure I'm up for that, but it's not all bad. It's worth looking at if you just want something simple and a game you don't really have to think about. Just looks nice and you trash your way through things. Could be all right. So that's out right now. Red Siren Space Defense is the name of that one. Everyone's been on Ingress. Ingress? Ingress? Ingress, isn't it?
I think so.
And this is a game that came before Pokemon Go, and it's the game that Pokemon Go was built on. So the company that did it, Niantic, made this game, which was about location tracking, and you would go wandering around, and you would deliver packages at certain locations, or using your phone, you know, GPS, and you would be told to go to this place in London, and then walk away, and then that action in the real world has an effect on the game. Just like Pokemon Go, and all of the information they gathered for making Ingress, all the maps and the scanning and the GPS stuff that they refined, was then used as the foundation for Pokemon Go. Only this time you went to locations and you collected Pokemon. Now we've got Ingress Prime, which is the thing that's built on Pokemon Go, which was the thing that was built on Ingress. So it's their rebooted version, basically, and it's got a lot more bells and whistles on it. It's got that influence of Pokemon Go where you're supposed to go to locations and now there's portals there which are surrounded by these things called XM, which is a currency, and it lets you perform the actions within the game. So you walk towards the portals, you'll find these white dots on the map. So you're kind of like playing real-world Pac-Man where you're gobbling up the white dots. And then when you get to the portals, the idea is to hack them, which is equivalent to collecting items from like Pokestops if you're playing Pokemon Go or something. Then you take control of the portals by destroying these resonators. And once all the resonators are gone, you can smash down some of your own, of which you can put up to 8 in total. It's all a bit much when you first start playing it. I've only had a bit of a go just to see how it works. But other members of the site have played it a lot more. And they say it takes a long time to get into, and after a couple of days it starts to make sense. And there's an order to it. And it starts to feel a bit like Destiny. I think that's what Harry's pointed out, is that like you have to find out information from a video on the Ingress YouTube channel to work out how to do stuff, not in game, which feels a bit like going to the grimoire cards when you're playing Destiny, where you have to like go to our site to look at the information. It's like, no, can you not just put it in a menu in the game? Because I'm in the game now. I know you want to make everything like cross transmedia, but it's just a pain in the dick. So there's a bit of that going on. I think this is another one. We were talking earlier about games as services that you need to play for months before you can properly get a handle on whether it's any good. I think this is a prime example of that. So Harry's doing this extended diary-style review where he keeps going back and updating it every couple of days. So track that, because he usually writes those really well, but also it'll give you a better feel for what the game's going to be in the long term rather than the launch. So that is Ingress Prime. That's out right now. What else have we got here? What have I played from the big list of stuff? There's a lot of new releases, by the way, this week. They're not like super high profile, but there's a ton of them. So, Seesaw. I'm sure you've written news stories about these, Em, but I don't know which ones you've seen, which ones you haven't. Did you have a look at Seesaw?
Briefly. I think yesterday's iOS and Android lists were quite lengthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm pulling a lot of this from. So you've seen them, but like there are about 20. So, you know, easy to forget. But this is a game where you take control of a tiny little man in a very simple 2D world. So it looks like a platformer, but it's contained within maybe like a bubble or a circle or something. And the idea is just collect the dots. Like Ingress again, we're back to collecting dots. But this time the idea is it's a game that's focused around momentum. That's the core mechanic. So you start on a platform and there might be 3 dots on that platform. You just tap to the right and your character will run to the right. The screen tilts ever so slightly when you do that. And then you collect all 3, boom, that's the first level done. Then you'll discover that in level 2, you might be on the lower floor and there's a platform above you. And then the floor kind of curves up to the right. So as you're running from left to right, it'll curve up a little bit. and then there's a platform above your head. Now, you can't jump up to that platform because there is no kind of jump control. What you can do is run up the ramp, so it, you know, as it ramps up from left to right, and then when you hit the apex of that little ramp, before you would start to go lose momentum and then run back down again, you just press left. And you won't jump, but you'll kind of carry that momentum with you, and it'll lift you up and to the left, and hopefully that'll take you, boom, onto the platform. So it's kind of like a running jump that you then feed back. But it's the momentum that's taking you there. Your character doesn't actually go boing and jump off. That's what the game is about. It is about choosing which of these dots to go to first, so that you can then go, I'll get this one, then I'll be able to run up that angle here and go up that wall and then jump off, well, flip off, and then land on this platform, and then I'll carry on up to the left, and then I'll go up that curve, and then pull back and jump onto the next platform and get all three. Because if you choose the wrong one first, you may find yourself completely stuck. You'll realize that maybe there's one dot in a little, like, carved out bit, like a little trench somewhere at the bottom of the level, and if you go in there, it's a hard 90-degree corner. There is no curve, which means there's nothing to run up, which means you are now stuck, and you must restart the game all over again. But they're very self-contained little levels. It's incredibly simple design, like little kind of stick men characters and just two colours, like properly streamlined. But I very much like this mechanic. I like the momentum thing, and I like games that are built around, okay, here's one idea. The idea is you can't jump, you can only run, and you've just got to let the force carry you. And then we build all the puzzles out from there. That's it. Nicely done, I think. I played it for about half an hour. I'm going to go back to it. It's called C, I was going to say hyphen there, C/Saw. And that is available, I think. I was going to say it's free, but I'm going to check myself before wrecking myself. It's not free. It's $2.99. But it's got a lot of full 5-star ratings. Just the first time I've seen this. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, it's by Philip Stullenmeier, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, there you go. So he's done a bunch of stuff like 1 Meter and Supertype. Supertype was great. And a bunch of other things. So, yeah, he's very good at these simple, I've got one idea, I'm going to present it in a nice stripped back way, but it's going to iterate on itself and be really clever. Number 3 in puzzles at the moment. That's really good news. I was hoping, because I like these games, but I'm conscious of the fact that not everyone likes this slightly like lo-fi, a little bit arty, noodly puzzlers. Like I do, and they want the shooty guns. But this is great. This is doing really, really well. And yeah, $2.99, £2.99. I think that's worth it for what this is. I think it's really good stuff. So excellent. That's cheered me right up, that has. Seesaw, that is out right now. Spitkiss. So here's an interesting one. This is one I haven't played, but I've been just watching the videos before I came on and looking at how Harry described it. He's done the review for it. The quote was, "Polyamory and Angry Birds, get it on." Which I like as a hook. Now, this is a game which is based on the Angry Birds thing of pull back and release, the slingshot mechanic, but there's a couple on screen. There's I was going to say a girl and a boy, but it's not. It's like a weird person shaped like a trophy and another weird person shaped like a triangle. So love between shapes is what it is, really. And the idea is that they are at different platforms on a level. This level is kind of at the beginning, just an enclosed rectangle with some spikes on the outside. So what you're trying to do here is throw the ball by pulling back and releasing it Angry Bird style. Then the ball will go and stick onto a wall, provided that wall doesn't have any spikes on it. And then from there, you then drag back on the ball again and you have to launch it off. And the idea is to ping it off safe surfaces in order to get it into the arms of the other shape at the end of the level. That's the trick. The way that it does it is, if you throw that ball onto a wall, it does gradually start sliding down that wall. So you can't just sit there and plan your next move. You have to move quickly because the ball that you're throwing is kind of like a gelatinous blob. It's a bit gooey. So you have to think quick and then just ricochet off this wall, and then sometimes the trick is doing it midair. So as it falls off, it'll then go whoop and fall down, and before it hits the spiky bits at the bottom, you quickly drag, grab them, and fling it at another wall. Really nice because the wall and the characters themselves are kind of basically monochrome. They're kind of blacky blue. But then the level backgrounds are these very, very bright neon colours. And at the bottom of the screen is like a really anatomically accurate human heart with all of the arteries and veins and stuff connecting it, which is slightly gross and creepy. And I approve.
Yeah, it sounds like right down your street.
Yeah, it's. I didn't expect that for a game which is ostensibly about love and romance. To go, yeah, it is about issues of the heart. Here's a disgusting heart. Have it. So, Spit Kiss is the name of that one. We really, really liked it. Harry did the full review. It has got a gold war. It might be gross, it might be controversial, but it's also a really awesome platformer, he says. And I've just, you know, I've described it from the video, and I now want to play it because, ew. So, there you go. What else have we got on the list? Into the Dark, Narrakin. So, this is a weird one. Harry sent me some footage of this, and then I played it. And it's... not voxel, but you know what's that Dwarf Mine? Do you remember Dwarf Mine?
No.
That game which is built entirely using letters, that incredibly old graphic visual style where it is just made up of letters and figures. I forget what it is now. It's not voxel. It's another word like that. But it feels almost a little bit inspired by that. So, from a mechanical point of view, it's kind of an action RPG in the Zelda style, where it's top-down and you're wandering around a forest and you encounter enemies and you encounter people who give you items and stuff like that, and you're exploring as you go. So, a bit Zelda, but it's incredibly lo-fi. So your character is this weird glyph on the screen. The forest is just a series of triangles. It's just represented by triangles and nothing else. And you move one square at a time on a grid by just tapping or dragging your character around. And other characters are represented by these slightly abstract shapes. And the whole thing is incredibly abstract. When you encounter enemies, they're kind of these just... again, they're just a collection of spiky shape things. You can maybe make out eyes, but not really. And every time you move, they move. And the idea is you can only attack at diagonals. So you have to move into a situation where they have moved into the diagonal direction, either, you know, upwardly or downwards diagonals, left or right. And then you can tap on that square that they're on and whoosh, do a slash. But that's it. So it's kind of turn-based combat where you're constantly chasing each other to try and get the right alignment, the right placement, so that they will move into your field of attack and then you can lay into them. It's very, very... like, deliberately odd. It's playing with that whole... what am I thinking of? Amnesia mechanic, where, oh, you don't know why you're here, and you're remembering stuff as you go on, and it's all very spooky, and here's a girl, and she's calling out to me, and I think I recognise her voice, but I don't know, and it's all very, ooh, ah, the dark forest. I'm not sure if I like it at this point. It feels like one of those things, it's definitely doing something. It's definitely going for a vibe. I'm not sure whether it's being a teensy bit pretentious, which I'll be honest, I usually quite like pretentious, but I think I need more time with this one to truly make sense of it. I think we're going to be reviewing it fairly soon, so check out Monday, but back on Monday for a review. I reckon it'll be up then. But this is also $2.99, £2.99, and the full name is Into the Dark, Narrakin. So yeah, maybe go check that out. There's also Cat Lady the Card Game, which is a game about making sure you have enough tuna to feed your happy cat. That's about it.
That's all we ever want, isn't it, as cat owners?
Just to have happy cats and feed them too much tuna so they get bloated and cross. That's all I want, really, to be honest. So you can get that at the moment. I only played it a little bit. I don't have a great deal to say. And there's a couple of other things you can get, like Yo, Let's Stretch, Hyperfruit, Skip Spider. Haven't played any of those, so couldn't tell you. But go and check out Emily's list, which she's lovingly curated, which has 20 of the buggers, plus all the Switch ones we haven't even really gone near. So Crashlands, The Bug Butcher, Siberia 1 and 2, Valiant Hearts, Minecraft Story Mode, all these things are coming out on Switch, plus World of Final Fantasy Maxima, which I haven't touched yet. Again, don't have a Switch, so there you go. But check back for people who have actually played it and their opinions on the site. That will do. Feels like a quick one because we're powering through and it's nearly home time. But thank you for listening to us. And sorry if there's a bit more umming and ahhing, as I say. This is just going up live because we have to. It was either that or no podcast. And we will be back next week, hopefully with Rick in tow. He actually had some spare holiday kicking around, so that's why he's not back again today. But hopefully full reunited. set up next week. Yes, Indy, I know it'll be very exciting to have him back, won't it? Fantastic. We will see you next time. Thank you for listening as always. Bye-bye.
See ya.